Thank you for the song and a good reminder of this 240th celebration of America. And thank God for the freedom that has been paid for us so that we can enjoy this celebration today. I'm glad you're here. Hope you have a great July 4th. And I do hope you'll stay after the second service. And if you kind of have already had plans, we understand. I hope you'll come back and stay and enjoy fellowship with us. You know, it's so important we get to know one another better. And so it's a great time together today. And I want to welcome you. We're in a hot summer and thanking God for His blessing on us. And the sun reminds me of how good God is and how wonderful He really is. A few months ago, I was talking with a gentleman. And as we were visiting, he was telling me, you know, as you're sitting there over lunch and just kind of eating and talking. And so, how's it going? You know, and that's what a lot of times what we say. And here's what he said. He said, one thing's going really good. He goes, you know, my life is good. You know, the work is good. You know, my relationship with my wife's good. Everything's going really well. The kids are doing great. He said, everything is going really good, but there's something missing. Something, I'm empty inside. And I said, what do you think it is? He said, I don't know. I really don't know. I'm looking for something. And so in our conversation, we began to talk and shared with him about Jesus Christ and who Jesus is and what Jesus did for him and gave him the gospel. And he wasn't ready to believe on Jesus at that point. But this guy was looking for something because there's a God-sized hole that's in every one of us. Something there inside of us that's empty. And then I got to thinking about this. You know, all of us, even as believers, we have times in our life when we feel lonely and empty. When we feel that way. Sometimes we convince ourselves we need a better job. That's what's going to matter. Get a better job, we'll, you know, that'll go away. Or maybe I get a better car. That's what I need. You know, like a race car or something, you know. I mean, the other day I was driving down the road and a guy come up with that beautiful Mustang next to me. And I thought, I need one of those. And, but you know, sometimes we think that's what we need. Or, you know, maybe we need to, you know, maybe we need just a long extended vacation or maybe a bigger house. That's what I need. You know, I need a bigger house. More to paint, but I need a bigger house. We think that's going to satisfy that longing in our hearts. The bottom line is this. All of us have this internal desire, this moving. And I believe that God has put that in every one of us. It's God's way to get our attention. It's God's way to tell us that we need something beyond ourselves to take care of our need. It's that way in which when we understand that we're seeking something, and all of us seek for God, without even knowing it, inside that longing, that desire, it's there. And there seems to be a daily longing even after we have found Jesus. We still have that longing, that desire. Every day we want to fill it. We want something that we just, you know, can fill us up. Something can satisfy us. Something can take care of that inner urge that we have within. Let me ask you a question. How many of you are coffee drinkers? How many are coffee drinkers? Oh, that's the godly crowd. I see that. And, you know, that's going to be the main drink when you get to heaven is coffee. And, you know, I like coffee. I think it's just probably closest thing to heaven's got to be. And so I really enjoy that. And we, like you, we have a Keurig like this one. Keurig coffee maker is one of those kind, you know, you put the pod in and it has a water reservoir on the side. And if you keep it turned on, keeps it heated, and then it'll flow the water over top of the pod, and then it'll make you a perfect cup of coffee. One cup. And, you know, that's really great. And it's kind of interesting because this thing has a little meter on it, and when it gets almost out of water, it'll say, "More water, please." I guess it's a smart coffee maker, okay? So it tells me more water. It needs more water. And then I got to looking at that thing and thinking about that the other day. We put more water in the coffee maker. But what if I put something else other than water in it? I mean, let's suppose that you know, it said, "More water, please." And I said, "I'm going to put Coke in it. I'm going to run that through the coffee maker. Wonder if how well that would work. Or how about a Snapple? Let's just say I poured a Snapple inside the water reservoir and it. Wonder how that'd work. Or what about the orange juice? You know, orange juice is good for you and it's healthy and everything. How about if I just fill that with orange juice? Would that accomplish what the machine is asking for? Is that really what I'm supposed to do? I mean, what would it do? Would it to say it, the least I could say about that would be, if you were to do that, probably wouldn't be a real good cup of coffee. But can you imagine what it would do ultimately to that coffee maker? You see, just like if you were to fill the coffee maker with something other than it was intended to be filled with, there would be problems. And sometimes our lives are like that because we're all tempted to fill our lives with something other than Jesus. What are you filling your life with? I mean, what is your life? What do you fill it with? What is it every day when you get up and you're a Christian, you're a believer, you know Jesus? What do you fill your life with during the day? What is it that for you, that inner longing that's still there, what do you fill your life the most with? Because sometimes, you know, that feeling of emptiness, that loneliness that you have, oftentimes it drives you crazy and you want to do everything you can to fill it. So you start trying to find things that the world says is really good to fill it with. Like, for example, work. Some people like to fill their life with work. You know, they're workaholics. You know, I mean, for them, life's about work. I mean, they get up in the morning, they go to work. They work all day, they come home and they think about work. The next day it's work all over again. And for them, they're workaholics. They see it that way. They see life as nothing more. And so when they start with these thoughts and this feeling inside, they say, you know, I got to just work more. And then you have others who are worriers. They like to fill their life with worry. In fact, I don't think worriers would be happy unless they had something to worry about. And sometimes I even find worriers create things that is no need to worry about it, but they create it, make it worry, just because they want to fill their mind with something. There are others. For them, their life is pleasure. It's what it's all about. I mean, they just want to seek, you know, pleasure and fun. And that's what they think life is. And so for them, they just want to party all the time. I mean, from it seems like every weekend, they live from weekend to weekend just for the next party. That's just how they live their life. They fill their life with parties. They're pleasure seekers. There are others who are filling their life with education or philosophy. I mean, for them, it's all about another book, another class, another this, another degree. They just want to fill their life up. They just got to fill it up with that. They think that's going to bring satisfaction. There are others that fill their life with causes. You know, the animal rights activist calls, the next political calls, or the abortion calls, or the right to life calls, or whatever it is. And all of those causes, I'm sure, are good in their place. But they're never a replacement for Jesus Christ. None of what we have just heard will ever replace what Jesus can fill your life with. I mean, that desire is great. And I noticed something interesting. It doesn't seem to go away as you get older. David had this longing in his heart. And in Psalm 84, if you want to take your Bibles and turn there, in Psalm 84, David is talking about this longing in his heart. This deep yearning. This drive. This which he is missing in his life. David is now an older man at this point in his life. He had been weakened. He had fought many battles. His life was coming to a close. The days were becoming shorter and shorter for him. And Absalom had decided that now he was going to take over the kingdom. He loved Absalom. Absalom was a great man. And he loved him. But Absalom decided he was going to take over his dad's kingdom. And through the process, he began to undermine all that David had done. And he got a following of people. And David has now been driven out into the desert. He was alone. All by himself. And he was hurting. He was in despair. He was lonely. You know, it's often been said that the person that loves you the most will hurt you the most. And David was just in a dilemma. You know, it's kind of like sometimes we can get. There are times in our life when we can say, you know, I know that I'm walking with God. I know the Lord. I mean, everything is right as far as I know between myself and God. And there's nothing really wrong. I just feel like David feels. I just have that same sense of loneliness. That same sense of despair. I have that same sense of that inner yearning, and I don't know what to do about it. And David is writing, and sort of the undercurrent of the entire psalm is that David tells us that in spite of his great wealth and power, what he needed and wanted the most in his life was God's presence once again. That's what he wanted the most. And here was the all-powerful one, the great king, the man of position and of power, a world-renowned leader, a mighty warrior. And David said, you know what I want? I want more of God's fullness and of his presence in my life. That's what I really want. That's what I really need. And in verse number one, in this chapter, I want to read it to you, the first six verses. He says, how amiable are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts. My soul longeth, yea, even fainteth for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh crieth out for the living God. Yea, the sparrow hath found an house, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young. Even thine altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. Blessed are they that dwell in thy house. They will be still praising thee. Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee, in whose heart are the ways of him, who passing through the valley of Baca, make it a well. The rain also filleth the pools. The word amiable means lovely. It means worthy of love. The idea that David said is what I really need in my life, that which is worthy, that which matters the most to me, is not the fact that I have all the comforts I can possibly have. What I need is I need God's presence in my life. Deep down inside, when you take all the dust off and take all that which you might have, the equalizer that David had, that we all have, is that we just need the fullness of who God is in our life. Strange how the world likes to bring us things, isn't it? To try to fill that emptiness inside. But David was saying that no matter how big or important you are in the world, you need God's presence in your life. I mean, you can have all the wealth, and that's what David had. He had all the position, that's what David had. You can have all the women, and David had many. You can have anything you want, but it will never satisfy that deep longing in your heart. What you need is you need God in your life. That's what David said. His yearning was God. And maybe this morning for you, you may not even know what it is. You may be struggling inside and internally, and it could be you have a job and you're married, or maybe you're not yet, and maybe you're hoping to be, or maybe you're in school, or maybe you just kind of have this job, you're hoping to get the next job, and you think that all of that inside of you, if you could just all be settled, if you got what you want, thinking that somehow that this is going to satisfy, when what God says is the bottom line is, wherever you are, whatever you're doing in life, I can fill that longing for you. And though the world may bring a lot of things to you, and though the world may get you to think that you need this thing or that or this or this position or this amount of money or whatever, God says, I got something better than all of those things. And so David goes on and describes this to us. He describes this inner yearning that's inside of him. And he talks about in verse number 2 about the desperation of God for God's presence in his life. If you notice here in this Psalm 84 passage, you notice what he says. He says, my soul longeth. He said, even fainteth for the courts of the Lord. He is so burdened down. He is so wrapped up in this that for him at this point, nothing else really mattered. That's what he wanted. That's what he needed. He's fainting in his heart. His soul is crying out. He says, I just need God in my life. And then he goes on in verse 5, and he talks about focusing on God's presence and having God. I'm just focused. He said, for me, it doesn't matter what's going on around me. What does matter is what's going on between me and God. That's what I want. I'm focused. My mom and dad, they live about 20 minutes from a Greyhound racetrack. I didn't even know what a Greyhound racetrack was. I thought dogs run. I've seen dogs run. But it's a gambling kind of, you know, you go and you bet on your dog and you gamble and everything like that. And I ask him, how does it work? We try to find something on the internet so you could see how it worked, but nothing came out really good. But the way it works is that they take a decoy of a rabbit and they put it kind of out in front of the dogs. And so what happens is when the race starts at the shoot of the gun, I guess, off the... that decoy goes, and the dogs are just focused on that rabbit. Now, they don't know this, but they'll never catch the rabbit. But they think they're going to. And can I be honest with you? Sometimes we think we can catch things in life. And the devil only uses a decoy. Because even if you caught it, it'll never satisfy. And because what God is saying is when you focus on Him, He's your satisfaction. He's that which within you, what you have, that loneliness and desperation that you sense every day. Even as a believer, you sense it. When you get up in the morning, you say, man, I don't know what I'm going to do today. I need something. I just feel that. What God is saying is that longing is me. That's what I want you to have. Now, it's interesting. We have to get a kind of a picture and understand something that's very important. David lived before Jesus came. And what the Holy Spirit's role in the Old Testament among the saints is that if God wanted them to do something, He would send the Holy Spirit upon them to accomplish the task that God had called them to do, and then the Holy Spirit would leave them. But when Jesus Christ came, Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins, and He was buried, and He rose again the third day. If you remember, He spent about 40 days in His post, what we call His post-resurrection ministry, right before He went back to heaven. He spent 40 days ministering to people, and here's what He said. He says that He had to go back to heaven so He could send the Holy Spirit. And when He went back to heaven, He sent the Holy Spirit. And here's what happened. The Holy Spirit no longer was located, if you would, and I don't want to use that. That's maybe a loose term. But what happened is the Holy Spirit wasn't just at a time, but the Holy Spirit came to indwell the believer. You and me. He's in you everywhere you go. Every day of your life. All of us have the Holy Spirit. We have God's presence with us every day, whether we recognize it or not. And that longing in your heart, that desperation in your heart, that emptiness in your heart is God's way of saying, hey, remember, I'm here with you. You see, we really don't need more of God. God wants more of us. And what David is saying is, as my focus is on God's presence, what he's saying is I just want more of that fullness of God in my life, and that should be the prayer of every one of us here. We want more of God's fullness. We would want more of God working in my life. I would want more of what God can do. I don't want to fill my world or my life with the things that the world has to offer me. Because my life won't work as God intends it to work. I need God to do something in my life. And so David focused on God's presence. And I know something in verse 3 really interesting is that we can rest in God's security when we have God's presence in our life. Did you notice in verse 3 the Bible speaks of the fact the sparrow hath found an house? In other words, what he's saying is, he says, you know, there's a security, a resting place in Jesus. That's why Jesus says in Matthew chapter 11, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon me and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. But to be sure, as I read the passage, I learned that there are some places in my life that come along the way where everything can be right between me and God. It just so happens that sometimes God leads me into some desert places in my life. You see, life's not a big party. Life's not just causes. Life can have its desert places. Well, you may be in one. David mentions here in verse number 6 that he's in a desert place. not of his own. He calls it Baca. This is Baca. This is the Valley of Baca. This is the picture of what David is talking about. David says, I'm in a Baca, and passing through that. And you know, when you're already tired, and you're weary, and you're worn out, and you're lonely, and you're in despair, and you're destitute, and you think you've got to go all the way across, and while it may not look big to you, it's big when you're there. And David says, there's a Baca that I still have to face in my life. And that Valley of Baca, what Spurgeon tells us, is a place of great difficulty and pain. I mean, I don't know, maybe someone's hurt you, or maybe there's something that you've had in your life, a disappointment, or maybe a job loss, or whatever it is, and you're in a Valley of Baca. But we learn in those valleys that God has something He wants to teach us. Here it is, in the deepest valleys, we learn the greatness of God. It's in that deep valley we learn how big God really is. It's in the deep valley where we learn that God is so great that He takes us through all of those valleys that come in our life. I've had my times of the valleys of Baca. I don't relish those times. But maybe that's where you are. Maybe you're in that Valley of Baca right now. Not of your own choosing or your fault or something you did. You're just there. How do you deal with it? How do you get through that valley? Often it comes after a great victory. I know Elijah dealt with it. In fact, the Bible said that Elijah wanted to take his life. Because he had defeated the prophets of Baal, the Bible said that he wanted to take his life. And God sent his angel to come along to encourage him. Here's what he says. And the angel of the Lord came again the second time and touched him and said, arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee. Speaking of that valley. And he arose and did eat and drink and went in the strength of the meat 40 days and 40 nights unto the Mount of Horeb. What was he saying? He's saying God's going to be with you. God's going to carry you through that. God's going to take you through those valleys in your life, whether it's physical or financial or whatever you might be dealing with. God is there for you. That's why that sense, that longing inside is there. You see, God will give you the strength. I like what Isaiah chapter 26 says. Thou will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Trust ye in the Lord forever. For in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. Let me ask you this morning, what is your longing? What's that in your heart that you're longing about? You're saying, you know, Pastor, I'm in a valley like that Baca. Or I'm going through this in my life, and only God knows what God says to you and to me. He wants to be your provider. He wants to take care of you. That place of emptiness can be filled by God's presence in your life. And I like what it says when he's there in Isaiah 41 verse 18. And I will open rivers in high places, and the fountains in the midst of the valleys. I will make the wilderness a pool of water and the dry land springs of water. God says, I'm going to take care of it. I'm going to fill your life. I'm going to give you everything you need. That longing is going to be taken care of. Let me take care of it. But maybe you're not a Christian yet. Maybe you've been experimenting, trying to figure it all out, or trying to check out God. And maybe you're reading your scripture passages or trying church out a little bit. Seeing you're just not a Christian yet. You've already tasted of some of the things that the world can bring to you, and you know it's empty. You know it doesn't satisfy. But I want to tell you this. You can't go wrong with Jesus. Jesus is the living water, the Bible says. He can fill your life. It starts when you call upon Him. If you're here today and you would like to do that, there's a place in your service program. You could take that out and check it and say, contact me. I'd like to know more about that. Or today, if you're ready, you can do it right here, right now. Or maybe you're a Christian today and you say, man, that's where I am. I'm kind of like what David is. I'm struggling with that longing inside. I'm not satisfied with anything. It seems like there's so much emptiness inside. God says, I want to give it to you. Something I notice at the end of the verse, I'm sorry, the end of the chapter is verse 11. Here's what it says. It says, for the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. Now watch this. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. God says, you know that need? I'm going to give it to you. And that comes when we have his fullness of presence in our life once again. Shall we stand together for prayer?